Good afternoon, everyone. We are living at a time in what most people in the church feel is the time of the end. We've been able to read in the Bible how Satan has distracted people. We can start at the beginning of the Bible and we can go all the way to the end. And the distractions of Satan are many. In our life, we have witnessed Satan at work. He has helped scatter the church into different directions, different beliefs. He scattered our families. Our family is scattered. Many of your families are scattered. Satan is a master at distracting people from the focus of God's truth. Satan is a master of twisting and distorting God's truth, twisting God's purpose. Satan is a master in using sincere people to do his work of deception. Satan is also a master at distracting us from the focus of why we are here, why we have been called, why we have been created. We're easily distracted as people. It is very easy to be distracted in the society in which we live, seeking our own pleasures and forgetting the real purpose of our life. Today I would like to focus our attention on the distractions and the deceptions of Satan. We will see that we are required to make a choice, just like many people in the Bible. We are going to be talking about and focusing on choices. Many choices will be discussed in this message. If you would like a title, the title is this: The Distractions of Satan. What will our choice be? The Distractions of Satan. What will our choice be? We can read the Bible from the beginning to the end and see how Satan has distracted human beings. From the very beginning of the Bible, we can clearly see how Satan distracted, he confused, and he deceived Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden. He set out to do so. At the time of Adam, humanity was created for a very glorious and wonderful purpose. Can you imagine the peace, the joy, the beauty that they witnessed at that time? No evil, nothing that's deceptive before Satan came in. It was pure. It was true. Human beings were created for the purpose of God reproducing himself. God's plan for man would bring happiness, and it would bring joy if, that big letter word, if they would follow his instructions. And that's where the choices come in. Choice whether they would follow his instructions. God saw the need for character to be developed in human beings. God's character would have to be developed within human beings before happiness and joy could truly be reaped. To the level that some of us are able to develop some of God's character in our lives, I think we could also equate that and say that we also reap happiness to a little bit that God would want of us. But the level is much, much higher yet in the future that we will reap. In order to develop this character, human beings were allowed to make their own choices. Each and every one. I believe that God sat Adam and Eve down and taught them in depth his way of life. That's my belief. I believe he would have sat Adam and Eve down and he would have taught them his truth, what he expected of them, the direction that he wanted them to go. We can see from the Bible, though, that God definitely taught them specifically certain things. If you would, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. And here we're going to read one very specific instruction that is recorded in the Bible, this instruction would automatically force Adam and Eve to make a choice. They were forced to make this choice. And God made the decision for them to make that choice. Genesis 2, let's begin reading here in verse 16. It says, "And the eternal God commanded the man, commanded Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Here God made it very clear to Adam and later to Eve what they could do and what they could not do. But guess what? The choice would be Adam and Eve. Be their choice. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 3 in verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning." This word cunning means subtle, crafty, using trickery, causing distractions to Adam and Eve. "The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the eternal God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The serpent knew what God had told him. Satan knew, but he was trying to cause distractions. He was trying to cause trickery to cause Eve, in this case, to go aside and not follow the instructions of God. Verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." So this very clearly shows that Eve understood. Eve understood the instruction that was given, but now she had this choice that must be made. Verse 4, "And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die." And here Satan begins to distract. He begins to distort. And he begins to twist God's word to distract Eve, to distract Adam. We see here that Eve clearly understood the instruction. She understood what the penalty would be if she did not follow the instruction. It was up to Eve to make that choice at that time. Was she going to submit to God's instructions? Would she be distracted by Satan and place herself in the role of God to decide what was right and what was wrong? It's God's role to decide what is right and wrong, and it's our role to follow his instructions. We know the rest of the story. Adam and Eve made a choice to reject God's instructions. Satan was successful, distracting them away from God. They decided for themselves what was right and what was wrong. We can clearly see how Satan distracted Eve from obeying God. We're given some of that information. Satan developed doubt in the mind of Eve. She was enticed by what Satan told her. She was distracted. Both Adam and Eve were forced to make a choice between God's way or Satan's way. The choice was hers. Adam followed Eve, and they both made a choice to reject God. The world that followed was based on a faulty foundation. Look today at the fruit of Adam and Eve's decision to reject God. The fruit that we see today in the year 2014, many, many years later, look at the hatred. Look at the violence. Look at the evil that has been penetrated human beings. 200 young girls taken for very evil situations. This fruit is that of Satan the devil. we can clearly see the example of Adam and see how Satan distracted him off the course. They had a choice to make, and they blew it. They rejected God instead of rejecting Satan. We can read in the New Testament that there was a type of a second Adam. The second Adam would be faced with the same choice that the first Adam was faced with. We can read that Jesus Christ was that second Adam. He would face the exact same choice. Would he follow his father's instructions, or would he take that role of God upon himself to decide what was right and wrong and choose to go a different direction? Would he be distracted by Satan? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I first want to read here where Christ is being called the second Adam. This was turned to last week for a different purpose. First Corinthians chapter 15, and I'd like to begin reading here in verse 45. And it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being." He became a human flesh and blood being, a living being. "The last Adam," which we'll see in a few verses, is none other than Jesus Christ, "became a life-giving spirit," which was discussed last week. Verse 46, "However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly." So we see here that Jesus Christ here is called the last Adam, the second Adam. Why was he called that? Because the first Adam blew it. The second Adam had to make the same, he had to make the choice to the same scenario that Satan put upon the first Adam, except Satan increased the ante here. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. Where we read here where Satan tempted and strove very, very much to distract Jesus Christ from the purpose that he had, his vision, his focus. He tried to distract him from the choice that he had to make. Matthew 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Let's stop there for a second and understand that God's Holy Spirit, which we just heard about in the first message, God the Father's Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He had to be faced with this choice. Verse 2, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry." He knew what he was about to face, and he prepared for it. He extensively prepared for it. Verse 3, "Now when the tempter came to him," came to Christ, "he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" Keep in mind, Satan knew who Christ was. He was one of the two original beings that helped create Lucifer at that time, that became Satan the devil. He was trying to slap him upside the head a little bit, trying to distract, trying to get him off his focus. He says, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And Christ answered and said, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Jesus Christ not only succeeded this first attack by following God's instructions, he quoted God's instructions back to Satan. He stood strong. Verse 5, the second wave. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Can you imagine Satan the devil, I don't know, grabbing, holding Christ and carried him up and sat him down on the temple? One of the two original eternal beings of the universe. The devil took him up into this holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." And here Satan begins to strive to distract Christ once again. Here Satan quotes a scripture. "He shall give his angels charge concerning you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus replied to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the eternal your God." He made another choice, the second choice in this attack. He stood strong. He is our example. He stood strong with his choice that he had to make. Verse 8, the third attack. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain. Once again, he grabbed him, held him, flew, I don't know. He took him up to this high mountain and sat him on this high mountain, an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Distractions. Trying to distort, trying to twist into Christ's mind. Verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan." In other words, "I reject you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the eternal your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Once again, Christ stood strong, holding fast to the instructions that God the Father had given. He succeeded in the choice that he had to make. He relied totally on God and God's instructions. Christ quoted scriptures, showing that he was submitting to every instruction of God. We see once again Satan's hand present in striving to distract and to deceive, to distort and to twist. Since Christ made the proper choice, people like us were tremendously blessed. Because of his choice, he began to build the church. He began to build a church that all of us can be a part of. The opportunity of being a part of his family, the God family, the focus of the kingdom of God, the focus of our future, the hope of our future, all of those powerful things that continue to help us make a proper choice was laid before us as the church was to begin. So we have seen the choices of the first and the second Adam. The church will be faced with the exact same choice as the first and the second Adam. God's pure truth and God's pure instructions were taught to the church. As soon as a person is called, God the Father calls that person. He personally begins to teach his truth, his instructions. And then later, Jesus Christ carries that forward and continues the teaching. God's pure truth and his pure instructions have been taught to every single true member of the true church. Those who have God's Spirit in his true church have been taught that pure truth. God had taught us from a solid foundation built upon the prophets and the apostles and Jesus Christ himself. We can read from the Bible how Satan began his attack upon the members of the first church, or the first era of God's church. He attacked. He distracted. He twisted. He distorted. He sent his instruments to throw in false teachers, to throw in false doctrines. Distractions, distractions, distractions. Once again, just like the first Adam and the second Adam, the church would have to make a choice whether they would choose for themselves to follow the instructions of God or be distracted, take the role of God, decide for themselves what was right and wrong, and go a different direction than the path that God set us upon. Paul understood what Satan was doing, and he warned the church members at that time. If you would, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to see the warnings from Paul, an experienced apostle, a tool, a human instrument that God placed to help people in God's church. He helped them learn the truth. He taught them the truth. He guided them. He nurtured them. He cared for them. And then he says here in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Here Paul was the human source. He was the human instrument that taught these newly called people and introduced them to who Jesus Christ was, what the plan was, what the future held. He began to teach them God's instructions, and he said here he betrothed you to your future husband. And he wanted to present them as a chaste virgin to Christ, pure, white, those who would be following God's instructions all the way to the end. Verse 3, but Paul feared something. He says, but I fear. What was Paul's fear? We're going to read it. But he feared that Satan would bring in his distractions, his distortions, his twistings, and send the people off the track. That's what he feared here, because he cared for them. He nurtured them. He brought them from a babe in Christ. Verse 3, let's read it. It says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness or by his trickery, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He was afraid that their minds would be distorted and distracted and twisted, so that they would take the role of God and decide for themselves right and wrong and head a totally different direction. Verse 4, for if he, false teachers, instruments of Satan, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, Paul says, you may well put up with it. That's what he feared. He was afraid they would just put up with the garbage that was being fed to them. It says, you might just put up with it. Here Paul shows us that he understood how Satan tried to deceive God's people. He understood Satan's tactics. Brethren, with all the examples that we have, we need to understand Satan's tactics, his distractions, his twisting and his distorting. I have to stop here and ask a question that all of us need to answer in depth. Just how strong are Satan's distractions? I'd like to repeat this question. It's very important. Just how strong are Satan's distractions? Do we think we're susceptible to it? Is it possible? Are we strong like Jesus and says, "No, I reject you"? How did the people in the first era do regarding the choice that they were faced with? They had to make the choice themselves, individually, as each individual person. How did they do? Well, we can read from the Bible, and we're not going to take the time to do that, that many, many made the choice to fall to the prey of Satan, to be distracted. They took the role of God, decided for themselves right and wrong, and went a different direction. We can read where whole areas abandoned Paul. They left. With all of this that we've read so far and all that we've discussed, brethren, what about us today in the year 2014? Do you think we're going to have to face this choice? You might look at it as there's many, many choices that we are making daily, but they all equal to the one big choice that we have to make. Will we follow the instructions of God, or will we be distracted and go a different direction? We personally are faced with this very same choice today. We have witnessed Satan's deceptions in God's church for many years. I've vividly seen it for over 20 myself. Many of you, I can guarantee you, will say maybe 50, 60, Mr. Meeker, maybe 80. The examples are many, in other words. The distractions are many. The distortions are many. The twistings are many. Where did all those people go in our former organization in Worldwide when that happened? Where did they go? Satan desires to add you and desires to add me to his list that made the choice for him instead of God. He would love to add your name to that list. If you would, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and here we're going to see how Paul describes Satan's effect on the people of God. We have witnessed this same thing in the church of God for many years now. We're seeing it time after time. Galatians 1, let's begin reading in verse 1 where Paul is introduced. It says here in verse 1 of Galatians 1, it says, "Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." In other words, God has set Paul to be his tool, to teach his people, to warn his people, to strive to help his people with the choice that they're having to be faced with. Then let's go over to verse 6. And keep in mind that this book here is written approximately 52 to 53 AD, approximately 20 years after Jesus Christ walked the earth. And this is what Paul is telling these people in verse 6. He says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." So we see here that Paul discussed these distractions, these distortions, these twistings in the midst of God's people. And it was affecting them. Some were turning away to a different gospel. Verse 8, "But even if we, being Paul or the other apostles, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Or in other words, let him be excommunicated. In other words, get him out of your life. Don't hang around that person. Get him out. Stand strong to God's truth. Paul talks about people who were part of the church of God. I can name friends that would be described in this method right here. It hurts. These people were led away by Satan's distractions, by his distortions, by his twisting of God's words. All of us must be reminded of Paul's warnings as we look at ourselves here in 2014. Because those people back in the first era, their choice is done. Good or bad, their choice is over. The choice now falls to us in the year 2014. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's keep in mind that the book of Timothy is one of the latter writings of the Apostle Paul. This was said toward the end of Paul's life, after he had the experience that all that he witnessed. This was written approximately 66 to 67 AD, another 10, 12 years later than what we just read, but 35 years from the time that Jesus Christ walked the earth. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's begin reading here in verse 8. It says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Here Paul discusses something that comes along with holding fast to the instructions that we are given and rejecting Satan. What comes with that is sometimes many sufferings, persecutions. Paul knew this. He witnessed it. He was beaten. He was tortured. You can read the list. It was like he's superhuman to be alive. He faced a lot. But sufferings can come along with standing strong to God's truth. Verse 9, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I, being Paul, was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." The example here is the experienced apostle made his choice. And he says, "I am not ashamed of God's way. I'm standing strong to that." And this encouragement can be passed down to those people then, but also to us. Here an experienced apostle gives all of us helpful instructions. Paul urges all of us to hold fast to the precious instructions that he was taught. Down in verse 13, he says this. He says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Paul did not want God's people to go a different direction, and he did not want them to be distracted by Satan and make a wrong choice. They had a choice to make. He did not want them to make the wrong choice. Let's go to 1 John, be the last scripture that we turn to. Here's another apostle. The apostle John gives all of us instructions regarding our choice. He had that choice to make, but he's giving instructions regarding our choice right here in 1 John 2, and I'd like to begin reading here in verse 24. It says, "Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning." What beginning? My beginning, the way I look at my spiritual life, I grew up in the church, much like Mr. Holman, as he talked about that in the first message. I was taught a lot growing up. But right before my baptism, something clicked. I caught fire. I was soaking in truth. I was desiring it more so than I ever did. I look at that as my beginning. And if God is calling us to a baptism, to give us His Spirit, do you think God will teach us false teachings? No. He's going to teach us the truth. Here Paul says, "Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning." If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, in other words, it's still in you, you're still holding fast to it, then you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life, our hope, our focus of the future, of being with God forever and ever. Verse 26, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, those who try to distract you, those who try to distort and twist God's words." John tells all of us to abide in the truth that we heard from the beginning. God the Father called each and every one of us, and I believe wholeheartedly He began that process with me and He taught me His truth. It's my job and it's my choice that I have to hang on to that. I have to follow the example of Jesus Christ and stand strong, regardless of the distractions, regardless of the twisting, regardless of the sufferings. That's the goal. Christ has carried on the Father's teaching, teaching us the Father's words. After Christ was resurrected and back with His Father, He began to use human instruments, ministers. The Apostle Paul, as we've already read, men today, ministry today, to help teach, warn, guide, direct, so that we don't succumb to the distractions of Satan. That when it comes time to make our choice permanent, we can make our choice properly. Let me ask again, just how strong are the distractions of Satan? I surely hope that every single person in here will answer extremely strong, a lot more than I can handle myself. I need God's help. And with that spirit that He gives us that was discussed in the first message, we can gain that power. We can reject Satan. We can stand strong to the truth and the instructions that we have been given. And we can succeed with our choice. Starting back in 31 AD to the present, every single person that was called into God's church must make this same choice. Whether they would follow God or whether they would be distracted, follow Satan and go a different direction. That choice would fall on each and every person themselves. We as an individual must make the choice to believe the truth and the instructions that God has taught us from the beginning. Satan is alive, twisting and distorting God's word. We can name many people, dear friends, that have turned away. He bombards us with distracting information, striving to distract us away from God in any possible way that He can. It doesn't matter to Him as long as He can lead us away. He has been repeating His same motives for thousands of years. He has tremendous experience at doing what He does. Brethren, right now is our time. It's our time to make a choice. God has placed us in this position to make our choice. He's forcing us to make the choice. Just as he did the first Adam, just as he did the last Adam, just as he has with the church brethren since church began. The question is, will we submit to God and follow the instructions that have been taught to us? Because none of us have an excuse that we have not been taught. Will we heed the instructions of the Apostle Paul to hold fast to the sound words that were taught? Will we heed John's words to abide in the instruction that we heard from the beginning? Satan is the master at distracting and deceiving human beings. He is now at work to distract you and me. We have to consider that. It's his work right now to distract us. Brethren, the choice is now in our hands.